Actually, it does, and we will see in just a minute where that's actually going to tie in. Did you ever think that Shrek could tie into a book in the Old Testament? It will. I promise you that. Let's think for just a minute about last week and about what Lynn talked about in 1 Samuel chapter 29. We saw that David, he was in the Philistine camp, and they were getting ready to go to battle. And as they were getting ready to go to battle, David and his men were kind of in the back with one of the commanders named Achish. And as they were back there, one of the other commanders of the Philistine army came to Achish and he said, I do not want David in this battle with me, because he still didn't trust David. He said, I think that what's going to happen is we're going to get in battle and he is going to turn on us. Him and his men, they're going to wipe out a large portion of our army. So I don't want him to go to battle with us. So David's marching along with his men. And as he's marching, Achish comes to him and he says, listen, he said, I've got some news for you. He said, here's what we're going to have to do. You're going to have to leave. You cannot march and you cannot go into battle with us. And he says, but why? He said, I have done absolutely nothing to you. And Achish said, if it was my decision, I would fight beside you because I respect you. He said, but this is coming from the higher commander, so you've got to leave. And he told him, he said, so early the next morning, what I want you to do is I want you to get up with all your men and I want you to head back to your town of Ziklag. So early the next morning, David rose and he got his men and they started on their 3-day journey. It says, the city had been burned down to its very foundation. Once proud, solid structures had been reduced to fragile rubble. If you look around, you can still see embers slowly burn what is left in the camp. And if you lift your nose, you can ever so slightly still smell the stench of smoke blowing in the air. An area once lived with lively with activity and sounds has now become ghostly silent and still. No sound of life and the joyful sound of family and friends overtaken by the whistling of the wind through the desolate crime scene. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel with me, if you will. And we're going to start out and we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. And we're going to have 4 points this morning. And the very first point that we're going to look at this morning is a broken spirit. So if you're taking notes, your first point would be a broken spirit. It says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters had been taken. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Okay, can you imagine this? I don't know how long they were gone, but I know every fall I usually go down to Cape Hatteras and I fish with a bunch of church guys. We go down there, I usually leave on Saturday and I'll come back on Friday. And I'm going to tell you, by Friday, when I pull out of Buxton on Highway 12, I am messed up because I want to see my wife and my kids so bad. And I kind of related that to this. You know, these guys have been in battle and they've been out there and they've been fighting and they're on their 3-day mission to get back to Ziklag. And when they get close, I want you to think about what was going through their minds. They were probably thinking, man, it is going to be so good to see my wife, to see my children. But you know what? As they got closer, they noticed that there was something wrong. Can you imagine the first man when he crested the hill and he looked over that ridge and he saw their entire city burning in flames? What do you think went through his mind? I'll tell you what would have went through my mind. Number one, I probably would have thought my wife is dead. Or if my wife is alive, what's happening to her right now? What's happening to my 14-year-old daughter right now? What's happening to my sons? And as David saw this, he said, you know, I'm caught here. I'm caught. And it doesn't say that they actually went into the city, but I'm assuming that they did. And when they did, the entire mood changed. And when that mood changed, the men got angry at David. And they said, you know, we're just going to stone you because you took us away from our families. You left our, it's your fault, it's your responsibility. And you've left our families alone and desolate, and they've been taken. And so they were talking of stoning David. And so the only thing that I can think that David was probably thinking, wow, what have I got myself into? What have I got myself into? And think about this, guys, especially the men in here. I mean, what do we do every day? We go out and we work and we provide for our families, right? And I mean, David was out doing what he knew to do. And he thought his family was going to be taken care of. The second point I want you to see is a matter of faith. And this is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 6 through 8. And it says, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because his sons and his daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. And then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. I see David being caught in the middle here because he had a lot of choices. And what he could have done, he could have just said, okay, guys, look, our wife, our kids are gone, and we're just gonna stay here, and we're going to rebuild this city, and we're just going to live here, and we'll just go on. He could have said, you know what? These guys are after me, so I'm going to take off. I'm going to run. I mean, look through the whole Old Testament. I mean, David spent most of his life on the run. And so he probably thought, wow, I don't want to be in that situation again. He could have simply said, you know what? If my wife, my kids, all these men's families are dead, why do I have a reason to live? I could just give up and I could just die. But you know what he could have done and what he did do? He could have sought God and said, God, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do? So I see David really struggling here with this issue and with the matter of what to do. And I want y'all to check this song out real quick. And I just want you to listen to it. And as you listen to this song, I want you to think about David and think about the situation he was in and possibly think about the situation that some of you are in, being caught in the middle.
Somewhere between the hot and the cold, somewhere between the new and the old, somewhere between who I am and who I used to be, somewhere in the middle you'll find me, somewhere between the wrong and the and the door, somewhere between content at peace and always wanting more. Somewhere in the middle you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end, and we are caught in the middle with eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. But will we trade our dreams for his, or are we caught in the middle? Fearless warriors in the picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, faith in the shallow end, and we are caught in the middle. That's wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. But will we trade our dreams for his, or are we caught in the middle? Lord, I feel you in this place, and I know you're by my side, loving me even on these nights. When I'm caught in the middle, caught in the middle.
Okay, so David, he was caught in the middle. He didn't know what he should do. But it says, pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. So I want you to think about this. David probably gathered his men up and he said, okay, I know you want to kill me. I know you don't like me. But this is what we're going to do. The Lord has spoken to me, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to go after our wife and kids. And they said that when he rounded the men up, 400 of them stood up and they said, I'll go. Said 200 of them said, I can't go. I'm too physically exhausted. And so you know what he did? He took those 400 and he started marching. And as he started marching, he came upon an Israelite, He came upon an Egyptian in the middle of the desert. And this man had been laying there for 3 days, sick and almost dead. And when he went to him, he looked at him and he asked him who he was, and he told him who he was. And you know the cool thing here? David had compassion on him. I don't know about you, especially guys. If I ran up on somebody that was part of a group that had just taken my wife and my kids, I probably would have jacked him up. But you got to see this. This is the cool thing here. David prayed. And God told him, he said, pursue them and you will overtake them. So David wasn't just going out on a whim to go get his wife and kids. God was his shield bearer and he was going before him. And he was walking in the Spirit and his men were surrounded by a hedge of protection. And I honestly believe that when David came to this Egyptian, he said to him, have compassion on him. Have compassion on him. They said that he took care of his physical needs. They said he was sick, he was wounded. They gave him something to eat, and they gave him something to drink. Let me read this to you. It says, we need to understand that David and his men came to a moment when they chose to get up and go after stolen property. The moment must come for you and me when we say, wait a minute. Am I just going to sit here and continue to feel bad for myself? Because that's what David's men were doing. In the name of the Lord, my daughter, my son, my grandchild is going to be reclaimed in the name of the Lord. I am not going to give up on my calling, my potential in life. Satan, you're going to give back that property enough. I'm going to be like David, and I'm going to go after my stolen goods. First question I want to ask you this morning is, what's been stolen from you? I think all of us have had stuff stolen from us. And I don't mean stuff out of our house or stuff out of our cars. What has been stolen from us? And with what has been stolen from us, what have we accepted? And what have we just decided to live with? Are we fearless warriors in a picket fence, just like that song was saying? You know, we're good just so we're in our box. But think about this. There are some stolen things out there that Satan and the enemy has taken from you. And you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to do exactly what David did. He wants you to gird your loins and stand up and say, you know what? I'm coming out of this picket fence and I'm going to go back after my stolen goods. It could be your wife. It could be a wayward child. It could be your finances. It could be your family. It could be a number of things that the enemy has decided to attack and steal from you. But what does God want us to do? He doesn't want us to be in the middle. He wants us to get off that fence and say, I'm going to go after it, instead of just living in that gray zone. David sought God with all of his heart, and God answered him. And you know what, guys? When we seek God with all of our heart, he will answer us too. He will. The third thing I want you to see is a faith put into action. A faith put into action. This is 1 Samuel 30, 9 through 20. So David and his 600 men went with him to the Bezor ravine, when some stayed behind, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. But David and 400 men continued the pursuit. And they found the Egyptian in the field, and they brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drank any water in 3 days and three nights. David asked him, "To whom do you belong and where do you come from?" He said, "I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago, and we raided the Negev of the Kushites and the territory belonging to Judah and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag." And David asked him, "Can you lead me down to this raiding party?" And he answered, he's like, what is in this for me? He said, "Swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them." And he led David down to them. And there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating and drinking, reveling because of the great amount of plunder that they had taken from David. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or everything or anything else they had taken. And David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and the herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." When I was just talking a minute ago about jumping out and kind of going over that fence and going back and getting what the enemy has taken from us, just like the enemy had taken from David. Before these guys got there to where the Amalekites were holding the women and children, what do you think the women were thinking? Now, David had two wives, and everybody knows David was a warrior. Anybody ever watch Gunsmoke? Okay, I remember a particular episode of Gunsmoke. And this guy that used to be in the cavalry, he was a deserter, and he kidnapped Miss Kitty. And basically the whole hour goes through of Miss Kitty and him, you know, going through the desert, and he's treating her terrible. And I can remember her looking at him and saying, "You know what? When Matt gets here, you're gonna pay for this." And then of course, Matt always rides in at the very end, doesn't he? And he always takes care of business. That's exactly what happened. But knowing their men the way they did, even though the Bible doesn't say it, I love this. It says, "I believe David's wife and all their other wives were sitting in the enemy camp saying to themselves, you guys don't want to have any idea how much trouble you're going to be in when our husbands get here. This is the same David that killed a lion and a bear that was going to harm his sheep. And this is the same David that killed 9-foot-tall Goliath with a slingshot and a rock. And when he comes back, he is going to defeat you. Just wait until our men come back." They jumped in feet first, and they got there, and they rescued them. They rescued them, and they recovered absolutely everything that was stolen from them. Everything. And you know what? When we do decide to take back what the enemy's stolen from us, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be right in the thick of it. We're going to be right in the battle. We can't just decide one day I'm going to take it back and everything's going to be rosy, because that's not how it's going to be. It's not. When the battle comes, what is the first thing we usually do, Christian or non-Christian? We run. We run to God. I can't tell you the number of non-believers that I know, when they are facing a crisis in their life, they run to God. Because I guess it's just the thing to do. It is said that David had not mentioned the name of the Lord since chapter 26 in 1 Samuel. Now think about that. He had not mentioned the name of the Lord since chapter 26 in 1 Samuel. And David's doing the same thing here. David's in trouble. So what does he do? In his tragedy, he runs to God. He runs to God. How many of you today or in the past have had a crisis or have had a battle? I want you to think about that, okay? And now I want you to put that in your mind. And maybe you're going through it right now. I just want you to put it right here in your mind, okay? And think about this. Now ask yourself this question. Through that battle, or through the battle that I'm going through right now, am I allowing God to be my shield bearer? Am I allowing Him to prepare the way to see me through this? And just ask yourself that real question right now. And you know the answer to that. And just like David took his time and his crisis to the Lord, you and I can do the same thing. And we can know, just as David did, the Lord will provide a solution. I'm going to read Luke 10:19 to you. And it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. Let me read that to you again. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. And nothing will harm you. Fourth point, a heart of thanksgiving. A heart of thanksgiving. And this is 1 Samuel 30:21-25. It says, then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and who were left behind at the Besor ravine. They came out to meet David and the people with him. And as David and his men approached, they greeted him. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, because they did not go with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go. So basically, they were sitting back, the 200 men were sitting back, and when everybody else got home with all the goods, the guys that didn't go wanted their share. And David said, that's not going to happen. It says, David replied, no, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us, and He has handed us over to the forces that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same of that of him who went down to the battle. All will share alike. And David made this a statute and ordinance for Israel from that day to this. See, God gave David back everything that was stolen from him. He got every single thing back. And you know what, guys? There's stuff that, if we're Christians, there's stuff that we're entitled to. There's stuff that God blesses us with and wants to give us. And you know what? It's just sitting there. And so many of us, we don't choose to take it, like love, joy, peace, understanding, patience, kindness, trust, hope, excitement. You know, God gives us excitement. Can you remember the last time you were excited in the Lord? When you woke up? I was excited this morning when I woke up and I figured my heart was still beating. Because I knew God has got a plan for me today, and He is not done with me. I don't know about you, but that excites me to live. It excites me to be able to spend time with my wife and my kids and come to this church. God gives excitement. He gives peace. He gives love. He gives joy. And those are the things that God wants us to have. And my question this morning is, are we taking advantage of what God has for us? Are we taking advantage of it? If you're not experiencing these things, you know what? You're just like David. You're being robbed. You're being robbed. I'll read this story to you. says, don't make the mistake of Florence Chadwick. In 1952, she attempted to swim the chilly ocean waters between Catalina Island and the California shore. She swam through foggy weather and choppy seas for 15 hours. Her muscles began to cramp and her resolve weakened. She begged to be taken out of the water, but her mother, riding in a boat alongside, urged her not to give up. She kept trying but grew exhausted and stopped swimming. Aides lifted her out of the water and into the boat. They paddled a few more minutes, the mist broke, and she discovered that the shore was less than half a mile away. And all I could see was the fog, is what she said. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. And it says, take a long look at the shore that awaits you. Don't be fooled by the fog of the slump. The finish may be only strokes away, and God may be, at this moment, lifting his hand to signal Gabriel to grab the trumpet. Angels may be assembling, saints gathering, demons trembling. Stay at it. Stay in the water. Stay in the race. Stay in the fight. Give grace one more time. Be generous one more time. Teach one more class. Encourage one more soul. Swim one more stroke. And that story is basically saying, stay the fight. Just like David, he could have given up. Like I said, he could have just laid down and died and said, man, my life is over now. I don't have my two wives. I don't have my children. I have been a disappointment to my men and their families. So I'm just going to give up. But what did he do? He went to the Lord. It said he was so serious about this. Back in Old Testament times, they had something called the ephod. I was wondering if it was like the iPod, but it's the ephod. And what it was almost like a spiritual ceremonial apron that you would put on. And they said it would go over the shoulders, and then it would come down and it would fasten at the waist. And they used this when they wanted to hear from the Lord, when they were serious about something. And it said that David went and he inquired about the ephod. And I even read some text that said David may have even put the ephod on himself when he went to the Lord. Because he knew that he couldn't do it by himself. There was no way he could do it by himself. So what happened? I mean, you know, I was reading here, and it said that pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. To me, that's pretty cut and dry. That's pretty simple. I mean, God doesn't really talk to me and answer my request that quick. And I read this, and I'm thinking, I wonder if it was that quick, or I wonder if David struggled with this. I wonder if it was a course of time where David struggled with this. And he was fighting his flesh and his blood, trying to figure out what he was to do. And then it goes on to say, the 600 men that he took with him, he had 600 men and 200 could not go. 200 could not go with him, or they would not go with him. Oh no, let me just ask you this question. If you had people in your company and you were getting ready to, you decided, hey, this is the route we're going to take, and you had people in your company and they just looked at you and said, we ain't going to do it. We ain't going to do it. What would happen? They'd be fired. They would be fired or they would be let go probably. But you know what? There again, we look at the Spirit of the Lord being on David, because it doesn't say anything about David being angry with them. He said, okay, I'll take my 400 and we'll go. And we'll go. And the point I want you to see is after David prayed and after God gave him the word to go and pursue and to take back what was his, he was walking in the Spirit. It was David. It was God going before David. And that's why he got back what he got back. And then David took the plunder once he got it, and he distributed it to his men, and he also distributed it to the entire countryside. And he gave back what God had given him. So my question to you this morning is pretty cut and dry. Are you in a battle this morning? Have you been through a battle? Are you living in the middle? Are you a fearless warrior in a picket fence? And if you are, I want you to be encouraged by this story. Just like you saw Shrek and Fiona, she needed a hero, didn't she? She needed a hero. And he came in there at the very end and he rescued her. I don't know about you, but I need a hero. I need a hero every day of my life. And that hero is Jesus. I need him to rescue me from my stupid ways, from the stupid things I do. I just need him because I'm not really that intelligent. And I think we all need him. So if you're going through that battle this morning, I encourage you to do what David did, to fall on your face and just to cry out to him with everything you got. Because you know what? It's not going to get any better. And where is the best place to turn? To him. So we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Stephen's going to play, and I'm just going to open the altar up. And if you guys just want to come and pray, just come pray. If you just want to bring something to this altar and you just want to leave it on this altar, and you want to walk out of here without it, do it. Or maybe you've just been checking this out today and you've been saying, you know, it's all well and good. I enjoyed the Shrek video and the song was pretty cool. And I like the story about David, but I really don't understand what's going on here. You know what? Today you can. Today you can know the God who spoke to David and the God who allowed David to go into that battle and to conquer his enemy. And if that's you this morning, you've got a connection card in front of your chair there. You can just check on that, or you can come forward. I'll be here. And if you want to know him today, you can know him. You don't have to walk out of here in the battle today. You can walk out of here, and you probably will still be in the battle. I'm sorry I said that. But you know what? You don't have to walk out of here alone in the battle. You can walk out of here with your shield bearer in front of you. Can you imagine? Did you know that in the United States Army today, the Marines, I think those are the only two that have ground forces. I have a buddy of mine who went to college and then went to seminary, and God called him to be a chaplain. And did you know that when he goes into battle, he has two shield bearers? Still, that's biblical. Today, that is biblical. And that is amazing. He has two guys carrying M16s walking right in front of him, and he's walking in with his word. How cool is that? And just think about the shield bearer that God was for David when he went into battle. David didn't lose one man when he went to that battle. Not one man. That's not likely. It's not likely at all. That's godly. That's heavenly. So if you need a shield bearer this morning, I just encourage you to come and just fall on your face before God. Just fall on your face before God and just say, God, be my shield bearer. Take me through what I'm battling with right now. Or maybe you just want to come and give him thanksgiving and say, God, thank you for taking me out of the battle that I was in. Thank you. Because you know what? If he's taking you through the storm and through the battle, he is worthy to be praised. Because it isn't anything you did. I can vouch for that 100% because I have been there. And it's not under our own power that we walk through the battle. It's holding on to him just like this. And our hand on his back, and he's got that shield, and we just walk right through it. Exactly what David did in this chapter. So I encourage you this morning, as Stephen sings, he's going to sing Mighty to Save again. And you know what? He is our Savior, and he can move mountains. And he will move mountains. Look at the mountain he moved in this passage right here. He moved this mountain, and you can come. Amen.
Here is greatest glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for being my hope, my help, my everything, my all.
Amen.
For hearing and answering my every call. For being as near and dear as your great holy name. For wisdom, power, and glory that's always the same. For the greatest show of love there could ever be. Willing your only begotten Son to die for me. Holy precious blood washed all my sins away that I might join you in heaven some glorious day.
Amen.
One day my heavenly home I will sing, for my God said simply, follow me. Thank you, God.
Woo. Praise God. Praise God. It's open. I'll just come. Just come. If you feel led, please come.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of a nation. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Yes. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in, and now I surrender. I surrender all. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He
rose, He conquered the grave. Amen. 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 I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that when I walk out these doors today, I don't have to go by myself. Amen. That I can put my hand on His back, and He's going to be my shield bearer through everything I go through today, tomorrow, the next day, and in the future. Praise God. Praise God. Pray with me. God, You are worthy to be praised. You are the only one worthy to be praised, God. I thank You that Your shield is big enough to carry and to cover all my junk. And I thank You, God, that You are there for us, just like You were there for David, God, as he walked through that valley. He was caught in the middle. He didn't know what to do, God, but he went to You, and he cried out to You, and You answered him. And it's so simple, God, because that's all You want us to do is just come to You and fellowship with You and talk to You, and You will talk to us. You told Him to pursue, and He pursued. You told Him that He would regain His plunder, and He regained His plunder. God, You speak truth. Help us to have enough sense to listen to the truth that you speak and to live it out in our lives every day. God, you're simple. You are simple. And loving you and following you is simple. There's nothing hard about it. Thank you, God, for being a mountain mover. Thank you. God, go with us now. Go with us now, God. And help us to get out of that picket fence. Help us to step over it, God. And to charge in the battle of everyday life with you in front of us, God. Help us not to be scared anymore, but to take courage in you, Father. We love you, God. We give you this day. In your name we pray, amen. Amen.
Thank you for being with us today. We love you guys. Hope you have a fantastic week. Don't forget your connection cards, to dropping those in the box and any offering that our regular may have. We love you.